Good morning. It is 9:05 a.m. We are here today, February 10, 2017, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Agaña, Guam, for the formal hearing of OPA PA 1615, Ramsdale Management versus the Guam Power Authority. Presiding over the hearing today are Hearing Officer Delia Wolf and Public Auditor Doris Flores Brooks. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Luellan Terlahi and Tirsa Bagana. Will appellant Transteel please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
My name is John Pearson. I do represent Transteel Management.
Will purchasing agency, GPA, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Graham Boca and Jamie Bang Linden, credit manager.
Thank you.
And also in our audience today, we have people from GSA. They're here just to observe this proceeding because it is surplus equipment. And so thank you and welcome to the hearing.
Good morning, Mr. Pearson, Mr. Botha. I just want to note for the record that, you know, before we begin with the appeal, I want to note for the record that right after the last hearing, the scheduling conference, I did go to my office downstairs, Lujan and Wolf, and I did see Mr. Pearson sitting in the reception, and I told him before knowing what he was there, I told him that I'm the hearing officer, and so we can't help you if you're there for to see my office, as we share a reception with James Maher. So I noted that, and that was the extent of the conversation. Mr. Botha, do you have any objection to proceeding?
Objection.
Okay. Also, I do have a matter to attend to at 11 a.m., so if we don't conclude by then, we'll need to break at 10:50, and then we'll resume at 12:30. Is that okay with everyone? So we'll take an early lunch, in other words. Okay?
The agency.
That also, yep. We did see that it appears that agency report was not filed. Can you confirm that, Mr. Botha? We didn't receive one.
I believe everything was filed at the same time because
Jerick Hernandez of my office, and I probably should have told him to have sent you an email just to reconfirm that, but we did not get it in our file, in our filing. And that might have been an oversight also on our part to kind of like check with you where is the agency report, but it was not formally transmitted to OPA.
Okay, there was basically they were all filed at the same time because I think somehow we hadn't received the original facts from the thing, but the procurement record and basically entitled statement answering allegations appeal was received December 30th at 10:28 a.m.
What about the agency report? And if you have, then just resubmit it, you know, because we're on the record now, and transmit a copy to Mr. Pearson.
Yes. And I do note for the record that we did exchange the hearing. I'm presuming those were all received. The hearing briefs, the exhibit lists, and the witness list were all exchanged between Mr. Pearson and our office. Those are all.
Mr. Pearson, do you recall getting an agency report?
I don't recall that.
But we do have your briefs.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. At least the most recent ones, I believe we all exchanged and filed.
Yes.
So But I will confirm the agency report for the VBA.
So, what we'll do is we can proceed with the hearing today, and Mr. Botha, if you could file the agency report within 1 week of today.
Is it a matter that you already have it and it just wasn't transmitted?
I'm going to have to look and make sure that we have a received copy or whatever.
Okay, so what we'll do
as far as I understood, everything was filed. If you recall on the timeline, apparently we had not received the facts originally, so we were behind on originally, you know, when we filed the agent's report and the rest of it, and so then I understand we filed it all at one time to catch up, basically, because that was the, you know, the other one to do it and, you know, do it for the beginning, so, but I'll confirm that, and if not, we'll file something.
Well, I know Transtil needs opportunity to file a response to the agency report. And so, Mr. Botha, if you could file that agency report by 12:30 and today. And Mr. Pearson, then you'll have opportunity to review it. And if your response, if you wanted to respond beyond what you've already written in your brief, then you can let us know that, and we can give you opportunity to file your response. But we're here for today's hearing. Does anyone have objections with proceeding with the taking of evidence?
No.
Okay. So, Mr. Pearson, if you can begin.
Come on,
and we can start with opening statements.
Good morning. I'm here today to express the failure of GPA to serve us correctly. For the record, before I begin, I would like to address for the record the name of the appellant Reed's IPNE holding, and this was confusing when I first received this hearing brief. Holding LLC docket number OPAPA 15-006. And this is the docket number is very new to me. Instead of a transfer management docket number OPA PA 16-015.
I apologize. That is clearly a typo.
Yes.
The docket number and the appellant name is wrong. I apologize. The exhibit list is correct. The witness list is correct. That one. But it does reference the correct hearing date today and everything. But I apologize. I believe what Mr. Pearson is noting correctly that the docket number and the appellant is listed incorrectly.
Correct.
If I could, he's been served for us, so I'd be happy to cross it out and write the correct name and docket number in. It should, of course, read Transtil Management as the appellant. And docket number 16015.
Correct.
As the is correct. Okay.
The body of it is all about the what happened between GPA. And you're correct. And thank you for pointing that out to us. We didn't even catch it ourselves. So thank you very much, Mr. Mm-hmm. Pearson.
And just so we have a clear record, Mr. Botha, can you also amend that brief to reflect the correct case name and docket number?
Well, if I could just cross it out, because otherwise it won't have the correct file date on it. I mean, I can submit an errata if you like, just to reflect that. But I don't want to submit a different brief because it's got a stamped filing date.
Well, we still need the original correction though, and so it's you can either do it as an amended hearing brief, or you can do it as a errata.
Okay. Yeah. Just to reflect the correct.
But it's deemed filed the day that it was filed originally.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
The original mistaken case name and docket number. Okay.
And also, I did receive this briefing on just for the record on February 6th instead of February 3rd.
You?
Yes, yes, I was.
And that's correct. Mr. Pearson doesn't have an office, so unfortunately we have to make arrangements for him to serve it, okay?
I see.
There was an office, which we tried to do before, even with the original documents. Mr. Pearson called and we had to meet him parking lot somewhere to serve it, okay? If he had an office, we would have served it on time, because you do note it is filed on time on February 3rd, but unfortunately, based on our previous experience, we don't have an office to serve it. If he has an office, please let us know, and we'll be happy to serve him properly the next time.
Okay, Mr. Pearson, you can proceed, and you can let us know if you were prejudiced in any way from the from receiving it on February 6th.
Just for the record again, the every time that I receive the filing, copy of filing from GPA, the gentleman named Vince Bicinas is the one who contacted me on the phone. And that same day also, he contacted me on 6 in the morning, February 6 in the morning, and he's indicating that he has briefing for me. Okay, so I don't see why, so having office and not having office, I don't see that matter within my concern. Okay, I've been participating on surplus bid for many years, and what GPA did on this surplus bid is clearly, I believe, outside the rule. I did make some flowchart to make my presentation easier to understand, as my English is not perfect or not best. And I do have a strong accent, and I have a language barrier. I'm hoping that the flowchart which I present to you, copy, that will make you understand more easily of what I'm speaking, how I'm making statement.
Mr. McPherson, so far your English is fine. And
but
if we
just for the record, I did make something.
Okay.
should I go in?
Yes, you can provide it.
Yes.
Thank you.
You need to provide to GPA first.
Proceed, Mr.
Based on the hearing brief which I just gave to you, I'm going to go ahead and read through the concerns and a statement I want to express. The online 26 GPA claims that it properly awarded the cyber GPA GPA-SS-003-16 to 4J equipment. The factual evaluation, based on the abstract date September 6, 2016, Transfer Management was the only bidder that submitted the bid offer on GPA SS-003-16. The 4J's equipment did not submit a bid on cyber bid GPA SS-003-16. Therefore, how did GPA properly award to 4J equipment? On the line 35, GPA states in part, GPA determined that other service bid would be considered with minimum bid of $10,000. The factual evaluation, GPA failed to properly issue a notice to GPA inviting other service bid to be submitted with a new minimum bid of $10,000. No advertisement was issued in any newspaper article inviting other bidders to submit bid with new minimum bid of $10,000. On page 2, line 5, the briefing, GPA reference to 5GCA5201-G and 2GAR Division for chapters 3109 and 2, etc., the factual evaluation. The statute and regulation as noted by GK is incorrect. The correct citation is G2GAR, Division 4, Chapter 8, 8102, supply management competitively received bidding, GPA issued salvage bid, which is to sell unserviceable equipment or supply and not a bid to procure or to acquire goods or service for the government. On page 2, line 18, GPA states in part, GPA properly made an award to 4J equipment as the highest service bid received as it deemed 4J heavy equipment, the responsive and responsible bidder for the service bid as specified in IBF. Factual evaluation. 4J heavy equipment was not listed as prospect bidder since 4J's equipment did not register or purchase a bid package for rebid GPA SS-003-16. You can reference that to tab 5 of procurement report. On August 11, 2016, the Guam Power Authority issued the invitation for surplus bid number GPA-003-16, miscellaneous surplus salvage bid, tab 1A for the procurement report. Continuation. On page 1A290, inspection, the IFSB invited an oil bidder to inspect the property to be sold prior to submitting bid. On August 15, 2016, Transit Management conducted its first inspection of the salvage item we were interested in bidding. At that particular time, the truck was complete with engine and doors. The tab 9 of procurement report. On the September 6, 2016, 8 a.m., Transit conducts second inspection before the approach of the bidding. Inspection of the same item inspected on August 16, 2016, to make sure it is still in the same condition. So based on the second inspection, the door was removed in one of the vehicles. So we noticed that after the first inspection, several items were removed, which should have changed the value of the minimum bid. On September 6 at 10 a.m. is the deadline to submit the bid. Now, based on the second inspection, Transit Management realized that the conduct of a GPA is somewhat similar to bait and switch. On the first inspection, the vehicle parts were complete. Then, on the second inspection, vehicle parts were incomplete. Therefore, the minimum bid amount was not properly because of the lesser value after parts were removed. On September 6, 2016, the IFSB GPA SS-003-16 was opened and Transit Management submitted its bid in the amount of $5,000. And GPA failed to issue a notice of rejection to Transit Management prior to the rebidding. On September 20 and 27, 2016, the rebid GPA SS-003-16 was advertised in the Guam Daily Post. Based on the bid register, only one interested bidder registered or picked up the bid package on October 3rd, 2016. Again, on October 6, 2016, 10 a.m., the rebid GPASS-003-16 was opened, and only one bidder submitted a bid. That is Transit Management, again. On October 14, 2016, 7:57 a.m., Mr. Vince Vasina's buyer one, emailed Ms. Jamie Pangilinan, the requesting for the advice on the bid submitted by only bidder, the Transit Management, in the amount of $4,300. October 14, 2016, at 1:30 p.m., Ms. Genevieve Hapaulov, 4J equipment, in email with Jamie Pangilinan, supply management administrator, indicating that she would like to submit a bid for the scrap of GPA transportation yard. It has a record of tab 11 of the program record. On October 20, 2016. Transfer management received a letter dated October 17, 2016 from GPA notifying transfer management that its bid for the rebid, GPA SS-003-16, was rejected due to not meeting the minimum bid amount. On October 28, 2016, transfer management met with Ms. Jamie Pangilinan and Mr. Vince Parsinas at the office of Ms. Pangilinan, in which I was informed by Ms. Pangilinan to submit an offer of $10,000 on or before 10 a.m., which was October 28. 10:19 of the program record records that. On October 24, 2016, transfer management met with Ms. Jamie Pangilinan and Mr. Vince Parsinas, Mr. Jimmy Pangilinan, and other GPA employees from GPA Transportation Office at the GPA Transportation Yard in Tamuni. Again, Ms. Pangilinan informed me to submit a bid offer of $10,000. On October 28, 2016, at 10 a.m., the abstract was prepared and the abstract reference to review GPA SS-003-16, the counter offer, basically, in surprise service bid, the abstract indicates two bids received, namely 4J Equipment Inc. and Transfer Management. Based on the abstract dated October 6, 2016, only one bid was received, Transfer Management. Then, how can 4J submit a counteroffer on October 28 when they did not submit a bid for rebid GPA SS-003-16. Since 4J did not submit a bid, what are they counter-offering? Issue. There is no evidence in the procurement record of notice issued by GPA inviting other bidders to submit a counter-offer for the rebid GPA SS-003-16. The question which is in my mind, how then did 4J Equipment Inc. know that GPA was interested in counteroffer for the rebid GPA SS-003-16? The procurement record does not have any evidence of such invitation. Issue 3. Because the abstract prepared on October 28, 2016 indicated counter offer for the rebid GPA SS-003-16, the only qualified bidder to submit a counter offer, I believe, is transfer management. If the abstract did not reference counter offer or solicitation number rebid GPA SS-003-16 and only indicate that the GPA wished to negotiate with other bidders, the highest bidder will be awarded, the issue may be arguable. But how can 4J submit counteroffer for the rebid GPA SS-003-16 when they were not even registered as an interested bidder on the bid register, nor they did submit a bid offer for rebid GPA SS-003-16? When Ms. Pangilinan received the email that October 14, 2016 from Ms. Genevieve Pablo of 4J, interest to submit a bid for the scrap at the transportation yard, Ms. Jamie Pangilinan failed in her judiciary responsibility as the supply management administrator. Question, why didn't Ms. Pangilinan inform 4J that the bid for the scrap is already closed and that therefore could not receive any bids after the scheduled time and date established for bid opening? The resolution call. Based on the fact contained in the procurement record of the following is my resolution. Number one, GPA to rescind the letter dated October 28, 2016, awarding 4J Equipment the bid in the amount of $15,100 as their counteroffer. Two, GPA to issue an award to the transfer management in the amount of $10,000 for being the only bidder that submitted a bid on the rebid GPA SS-003-16. That would be end of my speaking.
Thank you. Mr. Botha, opening statement?
Yes, thank you. Ms. Hearing Officer, Ms. Brooks. GPA does agree with some of the information provided here by Transteel Management, but some of the other stuff is just incorrect. Obviously, Ms. Pangilinan is here. She has never told him that he could submit a bid for $10,000. What she did advise him was, in fact, that GBA management would not accept any offer below $10,000. Obviously, it was up to him to submit another offer. But first of all, let's get to the facts that Mr. Pearson seems to have some difficulty with. There are no qualified bidders. He's not one, nor, to be honest, with Mr. Pablo and Forte's equipment. There were two bids that were put out. Mr. Pearson's correct that he cited those correctly. However, he was notified twice. First rejection letter was dated September 14, 2016. He signed a copy of it. Second rejection letter was dated October 17, 2016, page 232 of the procurement record. In both of those, he was disqualified. The bottom line for a salvage bid is that if you don't submit at least the minimum bid that management requests, you are disqualified. Nothing further. I mean, that's it. He admits in his letter, in his appeal, that he didn't meet the minimum bid, but somehow he thinks that he's a special bidder, and that he should be allowed to keep going even after that. Now, on his first bid was the minimum bid listed in the invitation for bid for salvage was $30,000. September 6, 2016, he submitted a bid in the amount of $5,000. That's listed in tab 1A. This bid was properly rejected by GPA because clearly $5,000 is considerably less than $30,000. Again, we advertised the bid with a lower minimum bid of $15,000, because obviously we didn't have any qualified bidders, on September 20th, 2016, tab 3. Again, Transteel submitted a bid on October 6th in the amount of $4,300, which was again properly rejected by GPA at tab 6. Now, after that, GPA thought, rather than just canceling the bid in its entirety, and as to the value of the minimum bid, that is not up for any bidders to consider. That is a value set by GPA in the attempt to get some money for its ratepayers. Now, what we've done now is, because obviously there's been some issues with these things, we have now determined that we will separate between, regular vehicles, heavy vehicles, and all the rest of it. And we're going to make a smaller bid so that obviously we have more bidders out there and that they can meet the minimum bid. Because if they can't, obviously we don't want to let it go. Okay. So when we did not have any qualified bidders, what we did then is we reached out to other people who have done salvage bids with GPA before, among them 4J's equipment, and asked them to come and appear on October 28th, 2016 at 10 a.m. and submit a bid. There were two bidders at that hearing. Transteel submitted a bid of $10,000 and 4J's equipment submitted a bid of $15,100. Now, it is true that on the abstract we did list it as a counteroffer. Perhaps it should have been listed as an informal offer for the bids that were out there. And in reaching the highest bid, clearly $15,100 was the highest bid. And so we did, in fact, send the notice of award, which was then appealed by Transteel. That's why we're here today.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Pearson, you can begin with witnesses.
Before the witness, can I answer some of the question that is on top of mind, what Mr. Bolton was saying? Is it possible?
I believe the normal
we can do right now is just, you can present your witnesses, and then at the end you can give a closing argument.
I see.
Do you have any other witnesses besides
yourself? I do have some of the witnesses I'd like to bring it in.
Okay. Who's your first witness?
I'd like to call for Mr. Terrigo, Frank Terrigo.
Frank?
Frank
Tidigui.
I'm sorry.
Okay, Frank Tidigui. Is Mr. Tidigui out there? Can you ask Mr. Tidigui to come in?
Franklin Flores Tidigui.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. October 21st, I happened to notice the white bucket truck engine being removed by one of your employees of the transport station.
Excuse me, Mr. Pearson, maybe yes. Just for the record, Mr. Tidigui, could you state your position and who you are employed with?
I work for the Guam Power Authority. My position, I'm a heavy mechanic leader. Work for Transportation Division.
Okay, thank you. Sorry, Mr.
No problem, ma'am. Again, the October 21st, I have a witness noticed the bucket truck engine being removed from the one of the white bucket truck that was leased on the service business. The period that inspection was still going on. Mr. Tidigui, I was wondering. I'm not sure this would be the proper question that I need to answer. I ask you, what happened with the engine that was removed from the white bucket truck? Do you have any idea?
Yes, sir. I'm in the transportation division. We're the ones in maintaining the vehicles of Guam Power Authority. So I was instructed by my manager to. We had one bucket truck. The engine was blown. So that vehicle in the back was not working, so we went back to the back to get the motor out of that truck to put on the one that's running, that we do the motor.
So you were the one who took the...
Me, and I was supervising the crew,
so
removing the motor.
Your division?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. After changing of the engine, for the record, did GPA transfer station did the re-registering under different engine numbers?
To transfer?
Yes, and after your transfer is complete, do you have any?
Well, at that time we didn't. The vehicle wasn't registered yet. The one that was broken that we transferred. So until that time, then I'm the one that does the registration. I will go to DMV through Public Works and give them the proper documents to transfer the motor. Serial number.
Okay, you're saying the proper documents. Is that mean like if the vehicle's been modified?
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, Ms. Hearing Officer, may I request the relevance of this matter? We're not asking about what he's doing or doing with the trucks or whatever. I don't understand the relevance of this. The fact he admitted that at the direction of his supervisor, he took the engine out of the salvage vehicle.
Mr. Pearson, the relevance?
The engine was belonged to white bucket truck, the white salvage bucket truck, which was on the bid list. If the engine's been taken out from that truck, and I need to know where the engine went. I mean, I'd like to get information where the engine went.
Well, what is the relevance to this case today, where the engine went?
We'll allow it, but you don't need to go too far into it.
I understand. Do you give me an idea who instruct for you to transfer employee to remove the engine?
Can you answer, repeat the question?
I'm sorry.
Who instructed me?
Yes, who instructed?
My manager has overall instructions and management of transportation.
You say it's manager.
I get guidance from him and direction from him.
Okay, you say it's manager. Could you specify his name for me, please?
My manager is Jimmy D. Pangilinan.
And just for clarity, Mr. Jimmy Pangilinan is the husband of Ms. Jamie Pangilinan?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. That is correct, and he's also the transportation manager for GPA and Mr. Tadigui's boss.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I believe this, you have answered the question that it was on my mind, so okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Mr. Tadigui, I guess just you didn't do this on your own, did you?
No, sir.
Okay, and you needed a vehicle. There was an engine available, and your boss, Mr. Jimmy Banglin, instructed you to remove the engine, which you did, and put in the other vehicle.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mr. Taitigui, do you remember when the engine was removed from the white bucket truck?
It took us about seven working days to pull out the motor, around October time frame. I don't know. I have to look and go through our JDE. To look into the disposition of the time frame. I know it's in October.
But it was before the opening of the bids?
The second.
Opening.
In the rebid?
Well, I know it was open, but I didn't know it was closed or, we moved, the vehicle's been in the back all that time.
Okay. Do you know when you started to remove the engine, the first of the 7 days?
Said I have to go back in my disposition at our shop, our JDE. That's all the information.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Pearson, any redirect?
No, ma'am, I'm fine.
Okay, thank you.
WL?
Yes, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
You're excused.
Is Mr. Pettigrew free to return to work?
Yes.
Thank you.
Any other witnesses, Mr. Pearson?
I'd like to call for Mr. Jamie Pangilinan.
Jamie or Jimmy?
Jimmy Pangilinan, I'm sorry.
Jamie?
Jimmy Pangilinan.
Jamie.
Oh, Jimmy Pangilinan. Okay. Thank you,
guy.
Jimmy?
Jimmy.
Oh, sorry. Sure, that happens a lot, right?
Yes, it does.
Will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Pangilinan, for coming. The October 24th, 7 a.m.
Mr. Hearing Officer, just for the record, could we have Mr. Pangilinan identify himself, where he works, and the rest of it? Just
yes,
a person identification.
Yes, you can identify where you work and what your position is, and
Jimmy D. Pangilinan, and I'm the Fleet Support Service Manager at Guam Power Authority.
And also you are the husband of the supply administrator, Ms. Jamie Pangilinan.
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
The October 24th, I believe we had a meeting on 7 a.m. at transfer station. When this Jamie Pangilinan explained to you and transfer employee at the meeting about temporary altering service with this equipment and shouldn't be touched, And you state that, as I remember, it's your fault, and then you didn't know about it. However, you will take the full responsibility. Also, you state that you have an approval from the upper management. I'm not sure whether you can report that. Could you tell me who were you referring to as you indicate that your upper management approved?
Well, my upper management is the ATMO and my general manager. But during the time of the, when we removed parts from the back, it was because of our bucket trucks that were coming down and we have to support our fleet. So I wasn't aware that I wasn't supposed to touch the parts in the back until we had that meeting that morning. So when that meeting was adjourned, we stopped touching the vehicles in the back. We turned over the key to the supply warehouse, and they were the one that's controlling the back at this time.
Thank you. Just for the record, were you the one who gave instruction to your employee to remove engine and also the doors?
I already stated that, sir.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Just for the record.
Yeah, I already stated that.
There we go.
And when were the parts removed?
I have it on file at my office.
Can you estimate when?
Wow. I'm not sure, ma'am. I don't want to tell you the wrong answer or the time.
What were the parts that were removed?
Pardon?
What were the parts that were removed?
Rear end, drive shafts, main engine, and a couple of doors. But all of them were placed on our vehicle that we were trying to continue to run to support the Island One under power stuff.
Okay, and this is just one vehicle that was, I guess, that was stripped of these parts?
It was, yes, one.
Okay.
One or two. I'm not sure, ma'am. I don't want to give you the wrong answer, but I believe it's just one vehicle.
Okay, and how many white bucket trucks were down that needed parts?
We had, I believe, two bucket trucks. One was for the engine, one was for transmission and rear end.
Okay. Do you know what the value is of the parts that were taken out?
Well, brand new or used?
Were they brand new, any of them?
No.
And what was the value of the, at the time that they were taken out, if you have knowledge of that?
I'm not sure what the used market goes for, but a new transmission would cost roughly $5,000.
So the transmission was, I guess that's part of the engine?
Yes.
Okay.
Mr. Pangalina, what is the usual process for, I guess you would call it cannibalizing equipment? Do you have to go, is it at your own discretion, or do you have to seek a prior approval, or what is the usual process?
Usual process is, ma'am, whatever we have in our compound, I usually practice that if we're going to save, because right now our fleet is aging. So we have an aging fleet, and we also, on top of that, we're having vehicles come in, but it's not enough to sustain our needs out there for our linemen. So it's my job to try to balance and ensure that these people have the means of tools and all that they can conduct their job. Let me see.
My question goes to, when is the transportation division, or the division that you're in charge of maintaining trucks, when is a bucket truck or any other equipment deemed for salvage? And then are you informed of it?
No, I'm the one that makes that decision if we're going to do the salvaging.
So you were aware of these items that were being bid for salvage?
I understand your question.
We're here because there was some equipment set aside to be bidded out.
Yes.
They were sal- They were deemed salvaged by somebody.
I did.
Okay, so if you were the one who deemed them salvaged, why did you then go back to get the equipment if you deemed it salvaged?
Because on the vehicles, ma'am, when they're deemed salvaged, either the body is shot, the chassis is no good, the engine is can use, but the rear end is still good, the transmission is still good. So instead of me pumping money into an older vehicle, which is like a 1997 truck, and the part is back here of a 1997 truck, I can still sustain this vehicle by keep it in my fleet by removing this part and putting it on this.
The concern here is items were deemed to be salvageable, and upon inspection the first time, parts were there. Then subsequently, on a rebid, or the next time GPA went out, the salvage equipment was not fully intact. In other words, you had gone to take the equipment out. So that's kind of like where it's confusing, because I heard earlier saying that you didn't know that they were going to be salvaged.
No.
I'm sorry, did I misunderstand?
I knew they were going to be salvaged.
Okay.
But I didn't know that I couldn't remove the part from them.
Oh, I see.
There wasn't something clear to me that says, hey, Jimmy, you can't touch these parts. I mean, that's the honest truth. I did not know. But when I was informed.
Who told you you could not touch the parts?
Jamie Pangolinan, the procurement manager, my wife.
Mm-hmm. And the reason for that?
Is because she said that we can, because now that we bidded it out.
I see.
You can't touch it no more. So now I understand the process.
I see.
Go ahead. Were you involved in determining the minimum price for the procurement?
Yes, I was.
So you were involved in determining that it was $30,000 minimum?
Yes, I was.
And this was for, I'm sorry, how many trucks?
This was for, I believe, 5 bucket trucks. 1 crane, 23-ton crane, a couple of utility trucks, the F-350s, F-450s, and a lot of the light vehicles, forklifts, Kodiak, 4Runner, the 4-wheeler, some flatbeds, step vans, the aluminum body step vans, I think there were 3 or 4. There was like 30 vehicles.
That are part of this procurement?
Yes.
And you came up with the figure of 30,000?
Yes.
Can you value the parts? Do you know, are you familiar with the parts that were taken from the items that are a part of the procurement? In other words, these salvage items?
Mm-hmm.
You're familiar with what was removed from the salvage items?
Yes.
And what is the value of that, of those parts that were removed?
Like I said, ma'am, I don't know the used part of price, but the new price is like the rear end is like, we brought one in for like 4,000. The transmission about 5,000. The engine like 10,000 maybe.
If new.
Brand new. And the doors maybe $300-$400.
Okay.
So if those, but you don't know what it might go on a used market.
No, I don't.
So when GPA rebidded and put a minimum bid of $15,000,
yes.
were you involved in coming up with that estimate?
Yes.
So. What was the rationale from going from 30 to 15?
The rationale was when, I don't know if that was before or after. It was before. Nobody wanted to come up. I bet the only bid was $5,000. So we sat down with the IMO. And this, believe me, ma'am, it's not only the stuff in the back, it's also the salvage. We have salvage metals on the side, batteries, scrap metal, stuff like that.
It's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so it's combined together. So so I sat on the IMO. And,
who's the IMO?
Ruben Ujoa.
And IMO stands for?
Inventory Management Officer.
Okay, thank you.
So sat down, he goes, Jim, this guy only bid $5,000. There's only one bid of $5,000. Can we go lower? Say, yeah, why don't we go half? Because in my estimation, as far as the crane alone, the crane is still operable. They just have some parts that need to be replaced, but we don't want to repair the vehicle because it's of the age. But if we were to sell that out on the outside market, we could sell that for $15,000-$20,000 by itself, repaired. So that's how I really based myself up with the five bucket trucks, the step vans. Still, we're losing a lot of money. What I was trying to do was just try to get what I can, because we don't see the money, Ms. Public Auditor. The money goes into a slush fund or whatever you call it. So we don't see the money, but I just want to do what's best for the authority, and of course get the biggest bang for a buck for the repairing. So that's how we came up with the $15,000. Just on the crane alone and then the five bucket trucks.
Okay, thank you for that clarification.
Based on this,
you can have the opportunity to come back. So, Mr.
Thank you. Mr. Pinglin, was one of the reasons also that you discussed with Mr. Ujoa to lower the price also that you knew that some parts had been removed from one of those vehicles?
Yes.
Okay. So, that was also one of the reasons. And now, when you discussed repair vehicles, have you been advised in the past why we don't keep repairing vehicles over and over and why we put them up for salvage?
Yes. Our old GM before, he told me to go ahead and try to repair what we can. But now, our new GM has a different direction. If it's 100,000 miles or 10 years, salvage it, get rid of it. If it's too costly to repair. So that's what we're heading to now. So all of our older generation vehicles, we're getting rid of them now. So right after this salvage, we have another salvage upcoming again. So.
Right, and have there also been audit reports that have suggested that some vehicles are beyond economic repair?
Yes.
And so I think you indicated just a small portion of the vehicles that were included in this particular salvage bid for $30,000 or $15,000, and is in fact the list several pages long.
Yes.
Of all the items that were there, and that is attached to the procurement record. So there's more than just the ones you listed, just the major vehicles that you're aware of, right?
Right.
There were certainly others that were part of that salvage bid.
Yes.
And obviously now that you've been advised, it's also your understanding that once the vehicles are put in, or whatever it is, vehicles or other equipment they put in the back for salvage, that that is now under the control of the supply warehouse from now on, right? And so
yes.
Obviously you would agree that it would have been more prudent in this matter to salvage the vehicles prior to it going out for bid.
Yes.
Okay, but now that you're aware of that, that the key is in fact held by the supply warehouse folks for those equipment or vehicles that would be listed for salvage in the future.
Yes, sir.
Okay. it is fair to say that the prices that you were quoting for parts was if you had to order it from the States for replacement parts. So,
for brand new parts, yes.
So obviously the used market, I guess it'd be fair to say, as long as you don't normally receive a lot of money for salvage, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I don't have anything further. Hearing officer, Brooks.
Okay. Excuse, thank you.
Oh, wait, Mr.
No,
I think.
No,
I'm sorry.
No further questions.
Oh, no further questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we won't need you anymore, so he's excused. Are you? Is he a witness for you?
No. We've asked him the questions we've asked him anyway, so
okay.
I don't see any reason
so
for
so no one will need him again?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Are you writing together?
No.
You're writing
no.
together?
No, we're not.
I have the same situation. My husband is one floor down, but we take separate cars.
And your next witness, Mr. Pearson?
I would like to call Ms. Jamie Pinglin.
She is on our witness list, but we're more than happy to finish up the whole thing.
Sure.
In the interest of economy and time.
Thank you.
Please state your name.
J.B. Lynn Cepeda Pangolinan.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you, Ms.
And if we could, Ms. Pangolinan, could you identify yourself for the record, where you work and what your current duties are?
I'm with the Guam Power Authority Procurement Materials Management Division, and I am the Supply Management Administrator.
Ms. Pangolinan, two occasions, October 20th and October 24th, the meeting, the day is understand as we had a small meeting at one from your office in Mangiliang, and the one in transfer station in 24th. Do you recall that you have indicated to me that counter offer? Can you recall that?
Yes, I met with you upon your request on both occasions, and yes, I did use the word counteroffer. However, I did not at all state to counteroffer at $10,000. I said with the manager of transportation, his acceptance is no less than $10,000. That was my statement to you twice. I did not say to counter offer at $10,000. I said the division manager of transportation would not accept no less than $10,000.
In my memories, when I had a meeting with you and you indicated to me clearly that GPA will be satisfied with the $10,000, and you request me to counter offer based on $10,000. That's how I understand it.
Okay, so in this meeting, and that is the reason why I always have a third party, I did request for the buyer assigned bids, Barcinas, to attend. So you might want to ask him that, but to my recollection, I said the division manager would not accept no less than $10,000. And that is to my recollection.
I do have Mr. Vince Weston as a witness here, but let's go on. Do you remember that while we were in meeting that you asked me, why are you bidding so low? Do you remember that?
No, I'm sorry. I don't recall.
And as I remember, you referred that to me on minimum bid, on the minimum bid, which I submit for the bidding package 1 and 2. And as my clear understanding, you have stated that, asking me, why are you bidding so low? So I gave you the reason for why I have to bid under bid the minimum bid stays in the bid package. Do you remember the reason that I explained to you on that?
No, can you please?
Yes, the reason.
Refresh my memory.
Reason. Okay, then let me go back to. October 22nd, which is the meeting that we had the 21st, the first meeting. October 22nd, that meeting is Friday. And you notified a transfer station employee that all the equipment for the salvage bid shouldn't be touched. And you also instruct them to put all the parts back on the salvage list bid equipment. That's what I understand. But if I'm wrong, please
Let me ask, is there a question somewhere in there? If Mr. Pearson wishes to testify, I'm happy to call him as a witness and he can testify, but he's supposed to ask questions of what Ms. Pangolin's recollection is, not what he heard from somebody else.
He can continue.
The reason that I ask her is because I want to make sure that she understands that what meeting that we just had. She simply doesn't remember.
You can continue.
No, I don't remember. Refresh my memory. I asked you. So the question you asked is not the transfer station, it's transportation, first of all. So it's transportation division, it's not transfer station. And then, yes, I do recall when you had told me that there were some missing parts. I did immediately call transportation, and I informed the personnel that because it was turned over, the property was turned over to procurement, materials management, that they should not be touching anything, and they should return all parts that were taken. Yes.
Thank you so much. That's what I want to hear.
Did you say to return the parts?
That's right, replace, meaning put back whatever you took out, put it back. I just said replace, put everything back. Meaning
they
the doors.
Yeah.
I do believe they did.
They did?
I believe so. So like the engine that was taken out, the engine that was replaced, I believe, was put back into that vehicle. I believe.
Oh.
So when they cannibalized, they took out the engine from the down bucket truck to bring it up. I believe, I'm not too sure. But I told them, replace everything. Put it back where it belongs. That was my instruction when I called.
And do you remember when that happened?
The day I spoke with him, the meeting.
This is 22nd.
Yeah, I'm not too sure of the date, but I do recall meeting with him. I did call the transportation division, and I did inform them to replace, put back everything.
Was this during the first procurement or the second, the rebid?
This was, I believe, Mr. Pearson, I believe this was in between.
In
and that is the reason why also the $30,000 went down to $15,000. Because I don't deal directly with Jimmy Pangolinan, the transportation manager, my husband. I don't deal with him directly. He deals directly with the inventory management officer. And the inventory management officer of the IMO comes to me and he communicates. So I literally stay out of all whatever process until I need it. So the only reason why I was involved in this is because Mr. Pearson came and requested to meet with him.
Any other questions, Mr. Pearson?
I believe you are already for the moment.
Just for clarification, so you had instructed the staff of transportation to put back the items. To your recollection, was it done?
I believe so. So it's one for one.
Okay.
That's the list.
Oh, okay.
Can you confirm whether, or whether 4J... 4J's equipment put in a timely bid for the second procurement?
No, there was only one sole bidder at the time. So I believe the bid closed. Yes, 4J did email me, but again, I make the buyers, assigned buyers, actually take the lead on this request. So when they approached me, when the buyer approached me, that's when I got involved, but no, they did not submit. The only sole bidder at both bids were Transtar.
Was Transtar Management's bid for the second procurement, was it rejected?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
We requested for $15,000, and I believe you bid it below, you bid it $2,000 again. So he went below his original bid, on the initial bid.
And did GPA reach out to 4J's equipment after the October 6th opening of the of Transtar Management's bid on October 6th?
So normally how it goes is once the bid is open and the buyer works with the division manager, Jimmy Pangolino, my husband, but he didn't do it with me, they informed him. They inform, normally it's a practice, they inform the division managers, okay, it's open, here, this is what it is, it's below the bidding price, requested price. So therefore, what had happened was, it's a practice to go out there and also touch the open market. So again, with Franklin Tiding, he was instructed to call the division manager, companies. So I believe he reached out to several companies, but it was only 4J's that also kind of reached out to Guam Power. But at the same time, with Mr. Pierce's meeting, I could tell him, again, counteroffer, but the division manager would not go no more, no less than 10,000.
And I'm sorry, so can you just repeat, who from GPA contacted 4J's equipment?
I believe it was Mr. Franklin Tiding, he didn't mention it.
And what was the purpose of the contact, to your knowledge?
Just to show that we do have salvage readily available here at Guam Power, and just to get it out of our hands. That's all it is.
Was 4J's equipment informed of were they told any amount to dollar amount for making an offer?
That is correct. I did instruct the buyer company, and I did explain to them you need to inform all the companies that are interested that GPA will not accept nothing less than 10,000.
Why wasn't the procurement rebid with the new minimum amount of 10,000?
Well, because we already salvaged twice and it was unsuccessful. So when a company reached out, and Mr. Pearson has also done this in the past, where if it's a no bid and he comes in and he shows interest, we also entertain his counteroffer, and we also accept his counteroffer. So this is actually his first time participating in an actual salvage bid and providing a price quote, but he normally did a counteroffer.
When you say counteroffer, you mean after a procurement was unsuccessful?
That's correct. More of an informal. That's correct.
So 4J's equipment was told that $10,000 is the minimum?
That is correct.
And who else did Mr. Tiding reach out to?
I believe he mentioned, I'm not too sure. I'm not going to even want to say. It's best that you ask him, but I was told he did make several phone calls.
And was Mr. Pearson also informed of this?
No, because he showed interest, so we were already staying in contact with Mr. Pearson.
So, in counter offers, what is the procedure on the part of GPA? Do you ask all counter offers to submit their bid at the same time, or do they submit their bids anytime?
Well, because the salvage bid was already issued, deeming not qualified, rejected, and Mr. Pearson immediately showed interest, and then also 4J's came in. So what we did is we actually scheduled a date and time so we can read all bids, all price offers at one time. So that was what's done. So we actually gave it 1 week out.
And so did both bidders come in at the same time?
That is correct.
And what time, what day and time? Because I don't recall seeing that in the procurement record.
Brooks, there is an abstract file for October 28th at 10 a.m. It indicates when the two bids were in there and the two bids were opened at one time.
In the procurement record, Mr. Boca?
Yeah.
Yes.
What page? Because I don't recall seeing that.
Okay.
It's there. 15. It's there. 15.
That 15. I see. Okay.
I'm sorry. It's it was listed as a 5 in there, but it is. Tab 25, page 279 of 290, and there is an abstract, so if I can clarify.
290?
No, 279.
279.
Under tab 25, just so that everyone has the same record. And if I could clarify, Ms. Brooks and hearing officer, while we are describing this as an informal process, GPA still did do the normal process where we tell the bidders, please submit a bid. The bid is sealed for all bidders, and it was opened in public on October 28, 2016 at 10 a.m. Both representatives from Triple J and Mr. Pearson were present.
Triple J or
4J? I mean, I'm sorry. 4J. That's another vendor. From 4J's and Trans Steel, both representatives were present in public. So while we're saying that this was an informal process, yet it was still handled as if it was a continued bid, if you will. So I think Ms. Bangle indicated in the record does reflect that it was a sealed bid, and you know, both bidders submitted a bid, and it was opened in public.
Just to recap then, when did you inform the bidders that you were going to, rather than advertise?
Actually, it was the buyer, assigned buyer.
That's, okay.
That's correct.
And who was the assigned buyer?
Vince Barcinas.
Vince Barcinas.
Vincent Barcinas.
And when did Mr., what were the bidders told approximately?
I believe we gave them 1 week out, so when we saw that there was two interested counteroffers, I had instructed the buyer, to assign buyer Vince Barcinas, to schedule it a week out, which was on Friday, or I don't know what date that was, but it was a week out. And then it was informed them no less, the acceptance of no less than 10,000, and then the date and time as well.
Does this informal process occur after a salvage bid has been unsuccessful? Or
yes.
Does it occur sometimes in the absence of a procurement?
No. So what it is we attempt. We always do two issues of salvage bid, whether it be salvage bid or an IFB. We normally issue it out twice. So after the second rejection.
So just to clarify in my mind, okay, when in the second go around, when Mr. Pearson's bid was rejected, that's when you instructed buyers to reach out?
No, actually, that's when Mr. Pearson submitted me with me.
I see.
And so that's when I said, if you're interested in a counter offer, and I did say that the division manager of transportation will not accept no less than 10,000. That's what I instructed him. And I said, if you like, you can put in a requirement. And then that's when 4J sent an email and said they showed their interest. Yes.
So when you told Mr. Pearson no less than 10,000, was he told to submit a sealed bid?
Not at that time, because then we had an email that came in also from 4J's that were interested. So from there, that's when the buyer was instructed, bring in your envelope, write your pricing, everything as a formal salvage bid review, except with no deposits required.
No deposits.
That's correct.
So did Mr. Pearson follow that and submit his bid in a sealed envelope?
That's correct.
And did 4J's do the same?
Yes.
Okay. So it was opened, I guess, according to the bid abstract on page 279 of the procurement, 10 a.m. On October 28th?
That's correct.
Okay. And who would have been I don't know who the signatures are on this.
Would you like me to take a look at it? Okay, can you just see this? Okay, so there's a tabulator. The tabulator is...
and I'm sorry, you're looking at what page?
280
of 290 of tab 25 of the procurement record.
So, Josie Josefina Napoli.
Who?
Josefina Napoli on the top right.
The very
right,
first,
yes.
That's a Miss Napoli?
Yes.
And what is her position? Napoli?
She is a buyer too.
Buyer too.
And then on the center to the left is Stephanie Tyrone.
Stephanie Tyrone.
And then in the bottom is Jesse Rages.
The one below the 1028?
That's, no, it's, oh, I'm sorry, you're looking at, I'm sorry, you're,
are we looking
what
at?
What page, I'm sorry.
We're looking at the same page.
Should be page 279.
279.
And there's a 5 in the upper corner, I guess that's.
Okay, and that's Jamie Pangolini.
Okay, this other is you?
That's correct.
Okay, and who's the little?
This to the left is Janet Pangolini. And
Janet Pangolini.
Janet Pangolini.
Any relationship? Yes. And who is she? How is she related?
Sister-in-law.
Sister-in-law?
Yes.
Your husband's?
Sister.
I see.
And she's the administrative officer, so she tabulates.
Oh, she's the AO.
She tabulates.
Okay. So I see one, two, there are four signatures.
Three.
Who's that little squibble?
Oh, you know what? I'm trying to even make that up.
Okay. So to repeat, Stephanie Napati?
No, sorry, that's page 280.
Oh.
I do apologize.
Okay.
So that's Janet Pangalina, that's 279, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Janet Pangalina, Jamie Pangalina, and then, you know what?
Who's that other signature above yours?
I would like to say...
Yeah. So all
I believe this is Vince Barsingas.
Okay.
So yes,
so all three of you were present and opened it up.
So yes, so the buyer assigned Vince Barsingas, opens and reads, Janet Pangalina tabulates, and I sit in to observe.
Okay. And you mentioned to your we don't have the names of the representative for 4J. Do you know who it might have been?
It should be anything, let me just see. Oh, I do apologize, we didn't copy, but it's normally in the back side. I think it was, I believe Mr. Pearson was in attendance, and I believe it was Mr. Pablo that was in attendance.
Mr. Pearson was in attendance?
Yes, he was in attendance.
And
as well as
for Tansteel and Ms. Pablo?
I believe so. I believe
Mr.
Mr.
or
Mrs.?
Mrs.?
I believe it was both.
Okay.
I believe.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that clarification. And this was opened, so just to recap, both bidders submitted a sealed bid, okay, and they were opened up in front of the two competing bidders.
That's correct.
And announced at that time.
That is correct. Right.
Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Brooks, just for clarity, each bidder, when the bidding is done, any bidders that are there receive a copy of the abstract. We give that to them on the spot. We make a... Now, unfortunately, as you know, the abstract form is a long form, so we shrunk it down, and unfortunately the back was not on it, but on the back is listed, because they have to sign in. For any bidding process, the representative has to sign in to show that they were there, the bids were open in front of them, and they get a copy of the abstract when that's done.
Right. So that was given to each of the two bidders?
That's correct.
Was 4J's equipment provided a copy of the invitation for bid?
No, I believe when it's like it was posted on the webpage, all our salvage or bids are made readily available online.
Okay.
Now, I think, Mr. Pearson, you have the opportunity to cross-examine based on our comments.
Well
as
I,
well as you, Mr. Buckley.
Could I examine first?
Yes.
Ms. Manglin, we've gone over most of the stuff so far, but for the first two bids that go around, was Tansteel and Mr. Pearson sent a rejection letter from GPA stating that they did not meet the minimum bid?
Yes.
Okay. So for each of the first two bids, there were no qualified bidders. Is that not correct?
Correct.
Okay, because in order to be a qualified bidder, you would have to meet the minimum bid that's set forth by the agency.
That's correct.
And those two bids were properly advertised in the post.
That's correct.
To your
yes.
knowledge. Okay. And I think you heard the other testimony. I mean, the first bid obviously was at $30,000, and the second bid was lowered to $15,000 upon the recommendation of the Mr. Ruben Udoa. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And one of the basis for that too is that parts had been removed from one of the many vehicles, right?
That's correct.
Okay. And in fact, attached to the both bids, there is a listing. I think starts at page Procurement Record 221 of all of the equipment that was included on that bid, and that's about five pages.
That's correct. Yes.
So.
Was there any advertising done for this informal bid process?
No.
Any other comment?
None. I think we covered it.
Mr. Pearson?
Yes. I believe that after the first and second bid, there's no record of what being closed.
There's no record?
No record of a bid being closed.
I'm sorry?
Closing of the bid.
Bid's being closed.
The closing date, you mean?
No, closing documentation. I don't see the record of a closing of the bid.
Is that your question to?
Yes.
Ms. Pinkman?
And then I'm not sure whether are you aware of that. Do you remember the in your statement you said I think it's closed, but I don't see the records of closing of that second bid, same bid package and second bid attempt, because bid was unsuccessful. The reason I'm asking that question is. I have explained to you that I have experience on bidding the cyber. The prior bid, before this GPA cyber surplus bid, that we had another cyber surplus bid that was on May of the last year. And that bid also went up the third time. The procurement procedure was properly done, where I see it. When first bid, they didn't find no successful bidder, so they closed the bid, re-advertised again, and second attempt, and they couldn't find no successful bidder, so what they did is they closed the bid again. And third time, every time they closed, they re-announced the publication. Okay, and third time, and they had to find, they found the right bidder, a successful bidder for that. So in that scenario, why this the current bid that we are discussing, GPASS-16, is different from the prior bid, which is GPASS-002-16. It's all surplus. The definition on the title is miscellaneous surplus service bid.
So okay. So what is your question to Ms. Penn?
So, Can you describe the difference between the prior bid and current bid? The one makes it different that you, without closing the second bid, go on for the offering stage or
I think the question is why was it not rebid a second time? In other words, for a third procurement. Rebid a second time for
a third procurement.
It would
be rebid for the third
time. Well, that's
a second rebid, but a third separate
rebid.
Procurement. I think Ms. Pangolin has testified in this matter.
She can answer the question.
Right.
Well, the reason why is because it was just him being the sole bidder, and he was underbidding. He was low bidding. And so it seemed like when I looked at it, it was actually getting lower, his bidding. So when he came and spoke with me, and I said, look here, we're not, and I did explain it to him, the division manager is not accepting nothing less.
Who's the division manager?
Mr. Pangolin and Jimmy Pangolin. And so from there, he understood that that we were not going to accept nothing less than $10,000.
But just for clarity, Ms. Pangolin, the first bid went out at 30. The second bid went out at 15.
That's correct.
Great. So where did the 10,000 come from?
Well,
because that was not advertised. I think that's his point.
Well, I think his point was because he was not the only bidder. That's his point. But even at that, I explained to him that 10,000, we're not going to accept nothing less. And so because it was unsuccessful twice and we had another bidder that was actually interested, that's when we scheduled the date and time.
And the second procurement, the rebid, I think Mr. Pearson's other question was, what are the closing documents? What are the documents that would demonstrate that that rebid has been closed?
We provided that to him.
For the record, at tab 12, just in case Mr. Pearson's...
No, I'm sorry, Ms. Pangalinas, you can answer the question.
Okay, so there is an outright reject memo that was issued to him.
Okay.
So we did officially close it, cancel it.
So that's the closing document, it's just the rejection of the bid?
That is correct.
And the return of his deposit?
That is correct. After it's issued, that's correct.
Any other questions?
I think she answers is what I need to know. And the records are the... this bid has been, so to speak, this bid has been not... I had an impression that after the second bid, and not doing more of advertisement, going on the third bid because they cannot find a successful bidder, I had an impression that she was offering, asking, requesting for me to counter offer, and then with the minimum, the amount of $10,000. Usually, it's just like I had experienced in the prior bid, the closing and publication and minimum amount being down, lower, and again, and the publication without the public and inviting interest part of the bid. And this bid wasn't in that process.
Can we get to your question though? I think it's established that this process did not involve a second rebid.
Okay.
Published.
So that would...
Any other questions?
No, that was my question.
Okay. Mr. Botha?
Just for the record, Ms. Pangalinan, is it your belief that Procurement Record page 232 that, in fact, I guess what your belief is the closing documents is that Mr. Pearson received a letter indicating that the second procurement, which would be the first rebid for which Mr. Pearson submitted an amount of $4,300, was rejected as it failed to meet the minimum bid amount of $15,000?
Yes.
Okay. And, in fact, was Mr. Pearson's check on both occasions, the 25%, was that returned to him?
That's correct.
Okay, and do you believe that was the closing of that first bid and second bid?
That's correct, yes.
Do you, do we send out any other documents to anyone other than those?
No.
I have nothing further.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Sangalinda.
Any other witnesses, Mr. Pearson?
I'm not for them, ma'am. I don't have.
Are you going to testify under oath?
Yes.
Okay.
Solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you are about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you.
Mr. Pearson, you're representing yourself. Normally, a party is represented by a lawyer, and that lawyer asks questions. So, I think you know you should just testify to whatever you believe is relevant to your appeal. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
But after you're done, Mr. Botha will have opportunity to question you.
The minimum amount of $30,000 the first bid was out. I had an intention of paying that minimum amount of $30,000. That's the reason I picked up the bid package. I inspect the bid list salvage equipment at transfer station yard. And the final day of bid opening, date, I believe it was September 6th. I just want to reassure the value or assessed value on what is there. So I went back to the final inspection on September 6th in the morning. And I found out what I witnessed the door's been removed. And then, et cetera. And then I have the door is not small size of a part. It's a big part of the body of the truck that's been removed. In that particular time, I was afraid of meeting the $30,000. So in fact, not knowing how many more parts been out from that salvage yard. And then I lost my assessment value. Initially, I estimate, but witnessing that scenario, that's in, I don't have assessment value on that property anymore. So that's the main reason that I had to go down the minimum value, minimum amount, which is required by the $30,000 on the GPA package. I don't see that value on there. A second bid, let me go to this. I witnessed the engine and the doors. That's a witness. I have picture reference on that. And when Mr. Pangilinan, Junior Pangilinan testified, he indicated that transmission and rear axle, many other parts, which I wasn't sure of. I have no knowledge of. I thought it was just door and other parts. I mean, the engine. And then I'm glad that I didn't meet that $15,000, because if I met $15,000, I got no value whatsoever on that bid, that equipment that listed out in the yard. I don't have assurance to meet their minimum requirement. I'm a businessman. I do resell parts. I benefit myself with the equipment that I purchase. I want to purchase in the right amount so I can benefit my business. But knowing the situation of what's going on in GPA transfer station yard, where the equipment is situated, I just don't have any the value. I can't assess any more value on that equipment. So, based on the knowledge which I have, the reason I've been put in 5,000 minimum bid and 4,000 some amount of minimum bid is because based on the fact that scrap value, if this is going to be turning into scrap, then after processing, after dealing, after expense of freight and all that probably right amount for me to apply as the minimum amount. So that was my bidding amount intention, and I don't really know what other to tell. So that was my initial thought. And then after the second bid, I have assumed that because I was only sole bidder for first bid and second bid, that Ms. Pangilinan was requesting a counter offer based on $10,000, so which I submitted on 28th. To meeting that $10,000.
you first notice that the parts that you had previously seen on the salvage items were removed?
That's September 6th. This is the date that this is the date that they opened the bid. On September 6th, 8 a.m. September 10 a.m. was bidding.
By the time of September 6th, 2016, did you previously submit your bid before that date?
No, this is a sealed bid.
It's the second bid. That's why he lowered it.
It's the first. September 6th. The second bid.
Yeah, the first.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so it was on the opening of the sealed bid on the first procurement that you saw that items were removed, or parts were removed from the salvage items?
Yes, ma'am. That's the when the September 6th, 10 o'clock was bid opening hours. And I went back. I chose to go back to inspect it again of what I'm bidding. And then that's when I realized that the order's been taken down.
But did you provide your bid to GPA, your sealed bid, before September 6, 2016? I think
no.
There's you provided some days in advance.
No later than.
Okay, no later. Okay, so you provided it on September 6?
September 6, 10 o'clock.
Okay, so you, after inspecting it a second time and noticing that parts were removed, that's when you made your bid amount of $5,000?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And before you bid for the second procurement, before you gave your bid offer of $4,300, did you inspect the items, the salvage items again?
Not thoroughly as how I did it on first inspection.
Did you notice whether additional items were taken from the salvage items? Or additional parts were taken from the salvage items?
No, ma'am.
Did you notice?
No.
Did you notice whether the parts that were previously taken, do you notice if they were still missing or if they had been put back in?
It was still. Well, actually, the parts was lay on the ground.
Oh,
the door is right next to the bucket truck. It was on the top of the pallet.
So you remember that the doors that were previously removed were now laying
down on the ground.
Down on the ground. Any other items or any other parts previously removed that you remember, you know, now being a part of the salvage items being put back?
No, ma'am.
Okay. And can you testify to your discussions with Ms. Jamie Pangolinan regarding a counteroffer for the second procurement, the rebid?
Yes. Well, like I have mentioned, second rebid, up to the second rebid was out, and I wasn't comfortable on also the minimum amount that was indicated, $15,000. After the first bidding incident, I wasn't very happy about what was going on in there, and I wasn't about to submit a bid for minimum amount of $15,000. So that's the reason I lowered the bid. And after the second bid, since I was the only sole bidder, I went to the Jamie Pangolinan's office to pick up the refund check. And then that's the time that when I encountered with Ms. Pangolinan, indicating that she'd like to receive the counteroffer from our company. The GPA would be happy about receiving $10,000.
So were you told to make a counteroffer of $10,000 or at least $10,000?
Well, I remember, as I remember, what That's the reason I offered them $10,000, because that's how I remember. Remember that it was $10,000 and counter offer amount of $10,000.
Okay, not a minimum of $10,000?
I'm sorry, I cannot recall that.
Okay.
So you were present on, were you present on October 28th when they announced and you saw that 4Js were you present?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Were you surprised to see 4Js there?
Right before the opening of the bid, they were indicating to me, GPA was indicating to me, there's another bidder.
There's another bidder.
There's
so
another
you.
Bidder. And I didn't know who the person was, but when the opportunity, that's the one I.
So, you were present when they announced and they opened the two bids, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so your bid and I guess the way the abstract is, whose bid was opened first?
I believe it's my bid was opened first.
And then the second bid.
Was 4Js, as I remember.
Were you surprised that to learn or to hear then that 4Js had bidded higher than you?
Yes, ma'am.
Was it your understanding that this counteroffer, what so-called counteroffer, was it your understanding that this was part of the rebid or a new procurement?
The counteroffer was never been an offer in my business of bidding surplus bid. Always end up with a bid package and bid. And so what I was, after the second bid, that's why I understand that as, like, since I was being so bitter for the bid package one, bid package two, there's no interest party. Whatsoever, so I assume that you know this instead of going through closing the bid and go publication again and invite public to bid, I assume that was referring to the counter offer. So I gave the counter offer.
Okay. Mr.
Botha,
any questions?
Yes. Mr. Pearson. Just to clarify, you made three bids to GPA, is that correct?
No, I made two bids and one offer.
Okay, so, and was the first bid that you made in response to a minimum bid of $30,000, was that made in the amount of $5,000?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the second bid in response to a bid of $15,000, you made a bid of $4,300. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And in each case, GPA sent you a letter stating that both bids were rejected due to the fact that you did not meet the minimum bid. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, to your recollection, how many vehicles were you bidding on for this, as you describe it, two bids and one offer? How many total vehicles plus equipment?
I believe it was like, maybe if I'm not mistaken, I read through the list of the equipment plus the scrap material. I believe there was like around six or seven the regular truck with a town lift and three minibus. And also two bucket truck plus one crane and two forklift.
Okay, so would it surprise you to know that there were a total of 35 vehicles?
It was all there. I inspected, but I didn't count one by one.
Okay, so but the one out of 35 vehicles, you were complaining about one bucket truck to which GPA has admitted parts were removed. Is that correct?
Yes, I'm complaining about one bucket truck. That door has been removed.
That, yes.
However, the I wasn't occupied in that facility every day, 7 to 8 hours a day. The door has been removed. What I have to assume what other parts been removed.
Right. So, but what you have testified to today is that you're concerned about one bucket truck out of 35 total vehicles. Is that correct?
I'm concerned about the overall whole equipment being cannibalized.
But you have not testified today, nor have you presented any evidence today about anything other than one bucket truck. Is that correct?
Mr. Bolt, did you hear the, did you hear the testimony from Mr. Jeremy Pangilinan that he indicating that there's more than two item, one bucket truck?
Taken from one bucket truck, correct.
And he also mentioned to me about other item out of from other vehicle, like axle, transmission.
I believe he testified that came from the same bucket truck.
The axle on the bucket truck is still there.
Okay, so one bucket truck out of 35 vehicles, plus there was additional 5 pages of equipment that were listed with the salvage bid. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And have you participated in other salvage bids with GBA before?
Yes.
Okay, and have you submitted bids or have you come in at the tail end of the bid?
I submitted a bid.
Okay. Have you also participated in any other informal processes where there are bids taken after nobody meets the minimum bid?
I believe I did one or two occasions a long time ago.
Okay. So you're aware that GBA has done this before? And in fact, were you not awarded the bid on one or two of those occasions?
I believe it was one occasion that I got awarded a long time ago.
Okay, and so I think you testified that before you came or on the day or whatever that in fact you were advised that there was another bidder who would be present on October 28th at 10 a.m.
Could you repeat that question?
Okay, I believe you testified that either on October 28th or some, or maybe the day before,
yes,
whatever,
right.
That you did aware that there was another bidder, and in fact, to your knowledge, that other bidder was Forge's equipment, Mr. and Mrs. Pablo,
yes.
On that day. And you submitted on October 28th a bid for $10,000.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And obviously at the time that you submitted that, you felt that the value of the equipment, the 35 vehicles and the equipment there was worth at least $10,000 because you did submit the bid. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Other further?
Mr. Pearson, did you want to testify in response?
I'm sorry, I did.
Anything further you want to add?
No.
You have an opportunity in your closing arguments to add anything further if you want.
Mr. Christian, do you have any other witnesses to call?
Not for today.
Okay. And Mr. Botha, did you have any other witnesses to call?
No. We obviously did have witnesses. We put forward the list, but I believe the between hearing officer OPA and the parties that everybody's testified as to all the pertinent and relevant facts.
Okay.
So
we can hear some closing arguments then?
We'll just go to closing arguments.
And we'll proceed to closing arguments. Mr. Pearson?
Oh,
or did you?
Oh, I thought you had.
If, I think we can wrap it up.
Okay, all right.
Closing arguments.
Okay, all right.
May I go back?
Yes. So no more witnesses? Okay, so we'll proceed to closing.
Yes, Ms. Brooks, and Mr. City Councilor, I believe, although they're kind of called out of turn in order.
Yes.
I believe all the pertinent witnesses and testimony has been made on both sides, so I don't believe there are any.
You can give closing arguments, and we've already, we've heard your opening statements, and we have your briefs. And so you can give a closing argument if you wish. And regarding the agency report, we still need that.
I would note for the record that perhaps they can look at the book, but the agency report is entitled "The Statement Answering Allegations of Appeal." It was filed on December 30th, 2016, at 10:28. It was also served on Mr. Pearson. So it is not entitled an agency report. I do apologize. I guess I will correct that in the future. But as I was trying to say before, I do have it before me, and I have the stamp record from Ms. Roki. That's how I had filed it. It says it's required by 2 GAR, section 212105G. Gives a relevant background, all the rest of it. If in the future we want to entitle the agency support, we will, but that was filed along with the rest of the documents.
Right.
Okay, and so that constitutes your
agency. That constitutes what we would consider the agency report. I apologize, I wasn't.
Okay. And Mr. Pearson, you do have this?
He was served with a copy.
Okay. What I was trying to say was that
GPA either didn't get the facts or somehow. So normally we would file the procurement record first.
Yes.
7 days later we file the agency report and
yes,
you know, the conflict letter and all the rest of that. Because we didn't have that notice or didn't get to it, we did file everything at once on December 30th. So that is what we would file as the agency report. So we would not file any different.
That's fine. Thank you.
That's fine.
Mr. Pearson, if you want to give a closing argument.
Okay. The reason that I had to come this far is due to the fact that GPA wasn't properly answering the letter of concern which I submitted back in October, and after this. And December, I did receive the December 1st of December, I did receive a letter from GPA not answering all the issue and concern that which I put it on, submitted on the August, I believe, October, I believe. So I was continuously seeking for the right answer toward the concern that which that I had. And this is how I have ended up coming into this hearing here. And still, yeah, as my personal opinion is, I'm not satisfied with the procedure that is implemented for this certain bit. And it should be very clear if the bid was closed properly and rebid out. I don't see any problem with that, but particularly on this bid was taken on different way. Somehow that makes me confused on this so-called package GPSS exterior system. So, well,
so if you have anything additional to say, in addition to your opening statement, if you don't, then
yeah,
it's fine.
There's no other one.
Okay. Mr. Botha?
I'll keep this very short. I think, as we've already said, there were two bids submitted and a third bid submitted. GPA will learn from its lessons with this one. Mr. Pearson admitted in the past that he benefited from this informal process in the past, okay, where that at least one bid, maybe two in the past, I'm not sure how long ago that was, that he benefited from that. I assure you that we will not repeat this again, okay? We will advertise every time in the future, but, you know, it was in the best efforts to move forward. Advertising takes time. I think there is no secret that all the parties knew about it. Mr. Pearson's position appears to be that he should have been only bidder allowed at the informal process of the third time. Now, our position would be, as he benefited from the past, well, how nice now that he's bringing that up. It's pretty clear from the record that all the bids were opened appropriately. There is no hanky-panky that you know, someone had something else. They're sealed bids, they're open. Pearson was president, 4J's representative was present, so I think the process was handled correctly for that. So I don't think there was anyone, you know, other than Mr. Pearson's upset about the stuff like that. We have taken steps to ensure that any parts that are going to be taken off will be taken off prior to, you know, the bid being put out. So we do share Mr. Pearson's concern, and that was not proper. Now the supply administrator who works for Ms. Pangolinan in the procurement side has a key to the, it's a separate yard that has those salvage equipment, and so that should not recur again. You know, it did, and so our position would be in terms of 35 vehicles plus equipment that was out there, the fact that one was salvaged shouldn't really impact the value that much. But however, for the second bid, we did lower the value, okay, from 30,000 to 15,000. I would submit that 35 vehicles on there, there was a crane, other vehicles, stake trucks, even as Mr. Pearson himself indicated, that those were worth at least 15,000. Now also what we're gonna do in the future is we're gonna break those bids down so that perhaps maybe with a fewer number of vehicles out there that someone will bid, can bid 5,000, as Mr. Pearson did, but it's fewer vehicles that are at stake there. We certainly rest on what we've done before, but there was notice provided to Mr. Pearson properly that his bid was rejected, and I think really the one part in issue is what we should have done for this informal process on the, I guess if you will, second rebid or third bid. And so we'd submit that we've been transparent in that, but we will take protective measures to ensure that has to be put out for advertisement. We'll do that in the future, but we don't believe that there was anybody disadvantaged in this matter, and that certainly the, you know, the bids were there and properly opened and done. Thank you.
And I'm sorry, is it GPA's position that the award to 4J's is proper?
Yes.
Okay.
And as Mr. Pearson indicated, it happened in the past too. So moving forward, we change our procedure. You bet. We will advertise everything, and if not, we'll dispose of it another way. I mean, maybe we'll hire somebody to take the stuff away.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Wait. We'll announce the closing.
This concludes the formal hearing of OPA PA 16015, and it is 11:04 a.m.
Thank you all.